Hi, this is Goku from Dragon Ball Z, and you're listening to This Week We Reek.
Goku, it's not This Week We Reek. It's This Week in Geek.
I don't think so, King Kai. I'm pretty sure it's This Week We Reek. Have you ever smelled Mike or Steve?
actually, I have, and I think you're right.
Hey guys, this is Jamie Johnson back with another prototype, and I am joined by
Mike the Birdman Dodd, and God, this heat needs to die in a thing of liquid nitrogen, because fire is hot and fuck fire right now. Just saying.
I was like, where the fuck are you going with this? Fire is warm and you want it to burn in hell or what?
Oh my god.
I think it would be naturally good there.
See, one of the things that sucks. You may not know this, so now you know. Being a fat guy and humidity and heat do not mix. In fact, evidently with my hair, it looks like I have a damn perm today.
It really does. It's fucking hilarious.
I'm cutting this by the weekend.
Anyway,
why are we here today, Jamie?
Well, today we went down to Toronto and there was a Nintendo kind of press conference showing off all the stuff that they showed pretty much at E3, I think.
Except for one notable exception.
Well, yeah, we got hands-on on a bunch of games. The one we were really looking forward to was Super Smash Bros., and that's the one he meant was not there.
I walked in the door. I told you as I was riding up the elevator, if they don't have Smash Bros., I'm turning around.
You didn't turn around, though.
I did. I just didn't leave.
Okay.
My wife is humping my chair. It feels really odd.
It looks really odd. Very, very odd. We'll start off like usual with what games we've been playing. I don't think we really said much last week on those because we were doing the short episodes on E3.
Yeah. I've been playing a lot of The Last of Us. I've beaten that game 3 times now. I've been playing through the RoboCop games on Rad, which by the time this airs tomorrow, because I'm literally going to edit this thing tonight, I've been playing the RoboCop games on the NES. Man, nostalgia goggles suck. I like the games, I can recommend them, but don't pay a lot for them.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're really that expensive nowadays anyway, so.
Yeah. I've been going through Metal Gear Revengeance again, actually.
Really?
Yeah, Konami sent me a code for the Ultimate Edition for it, which has all the DLC in it. And on Medium, you get all the new bodies that Raiden would have got had you pre-ordered at Best Buy or Amazon or whatever. And it's a lot more fun going through the game with all your stats maxed out. The one armor I wear is the white armor. And that means you get double the health.
I like the Bandito one.
Oh my god.
Wearing a little fucking like a Mexican hat and poncho.
It's so ridiculous, but it's so much fun. And a tip that Angry Joe gave out in his review is just flick the control stick.
Yeah.
And it works every time.
Once I learned that, it was like, wow, this game's fucking easy.
Oh, yeah. But I'm still having a fun time just roaring through it and using the Fox Blade, which is undeniably broken.
What are those hats called anyway? Because now
the
I feel
mariachi
all
hat?
Yeah, is it? Oh, sombrero, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
I felt a little bit racist because I was like a Mexican hat, and I'm like, I know everyone will know what that is,
but
I didn't remember the name of it, but now I'm racist. Anyway.
I'm trying to think if there's any other examples of that throughout history. I mean, well, I guess everybody knows what a German helmet looks like when you say that.
Yeah, I mean, it's
a
just,
Canadian hat's a toque.
Yeah, like,
so it's not really
it's
racist.
It's actually
kind of
funny because when we say a toque, most people are like, "What the fuck is a toque?" It's like a Canadian hat. Oh, okay.
And
it's like,
and
fuck off.
When I say a Russian hat, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The
yeah.
big one with the furry ears.
Yeah, yeah.
We're talking about hats.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the hats thing, it's actually funny. One of my American friends, he actually calls a toque a condom hat. We're just wearing little condoms on our heads. Which, if you think about it, I see that face, but think about it. It really just looks like a condom on your head.
I think my favorite is the call yarmulkes, the Jew beanie.
The Jew beanie.
Well, I didn't know what it was called.
Wow.
I don't mean to be a racist. I love Jews. They're awesome. Come on. The Weinstein Company in Hollywood. They're awesome.
Wow. Jew okay, beanie. I no longer have to worry about saying Mexican hat. You've beaten me with Jew beanie.
Well, I don't mean it to be offensive.
I know. Anyway, well, let's maybe get back on track here. So you've been playing Last of Us. I've been playing The Last of Us. The single player, fucking phenomenal. If you have a PS3... Go fucking get this game. It's been sold out a lot around here, but I mean, if you get a chance, get the fucking game. If you don't own a PS3, this game's a reason to buy one. That's how good it is. The single player just kind of blows you away in almost every way, unless you don't like fucking third person zombies, anything like... It's not actually zombies, but it's very similar. So it's that post-apocalyptic kind of thing. So if you don't like anything to do with any of that, then maybe don't pick it up. But most people that like video games like that shit. The multiplayer, which you didn't get around to playing just yet, right?
Yeah.
I probably put more hours into that than I have mostly anything else that I've been doing lately.
Yeah, because even if you speedrun it, quote-unquote, it's still at least 10 hours plus.
Yeah, the game's pretty long, but like the multiplayer has a really cool concept where essentially you're trying to build your clan of survivors, and the better you do in the matches, the multiplayer matches of killing each other, you're gaining supplies for your actual camp, and you gain survivors if you have surplus supplies, because people want to join your camp. If you don't get enough supplies, your people will actually get hungry, then they'll get sick, and then they will die. The cool thing about this, though, is they actually give you an option to link it to Facebook. So when someone joins my clan, yeah, it actually pulls from my Facebook. So I've actually had Mike Dodd has joined my clan.
Really? I didn't know that.
I've had it tells you like random events just like in between matches where it's like somebody's doing something. So I had like Mike Dodd was, I think you were sharpening arrowheads at one point.
I'm awesome.
Yeah.
And kind of racist because I'm native.
Yeah. I didn't even think about that. Wow. I did not even think of that.
I'm going to throw my spears at you.
It gives it kind of a little more realism. One, it's really funny because you get to read shit like that. Other times, it's like everybody has this on Facebook. You have like probably 50% of the people on your Facebook you either don't know or you don't actually think is a true friend. So it's funny whenever it pops up that they died. So it's just like, oh, I didn't like that guy.
You know it's going to suck? Because when I start going through it, I'm going to have like all my famous friends die.
Yeah.
Mark Meer is died. Oh, Commander Shepard's dead.
Yeah.
Or,
it's like, damn, I figured he would have done well.
I'm like, oh.
But yeah, it's really cool because you have a couple reasons to want to get more supplies. Basically, you get unlocks and stuff for your character for customization. And you get to, like, you start to feel a little bit attached to your clan. It's just really cool, because you get 12 full weeks to try to survive. And if you survive, it's kind of like prestiging. So you go back to week one, and you start with 5 survivors again. But if you don't actually make it through it, and everybody dies off, you go back to week one again, but you don't get, like, a prestige star.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't get half of those fucking unlocks. It's actually really hard, though, because they add in little bonus missions. So essentially every like 3 or 4 matches, which each match is considered a day, after so many matches, it'll actually give you a mission. The mission will either boost your population depending on what you do, or it'll negative it heavily. So in the game, there's a couple factions. One of them's called Hunters, one of them's called Fireflies. You choose which faction you are, and then basically the other faction will attack you in the scenario where you lose people. Near the 12-week mark, if you fail to complete any of the mission, you lose 100% of your clan. It's fucking brutal. But at the same time, I've never managed to fuck it up that bad. But, yeah, it just gives that extra
incentive
and oh my god. And it also makes you change up your playstyle because the missions... You get to choose what the mission is.
Yeah.
But every time you choose something, so say it's executing enemies. The first time you choose it, it'll be like, you lose 100% if you don't get two executions. You lose 60% if you don't get four executions, and you lose only 20% if you get eight executions or whatever.
That's ridiculous.
But if you choose that again,
yeah,
then it's going to boost it up to, rather than like 2, 4, and 6 or whatever, it'll be 4, 6, and 8. So if you keep doing that over and over rather than the other things, you will pretty much be fucked by week 12. Because you'll end up being stuck with something that's either too hard to do or a skill set that you're not good with, like healing people. I fucking don't heal people.
See, now I'm really hyped. In fact, yeah, did you bring my copy back tonight?
Yeah, I went and bought my own copy. Yours was in the car, so I think it might actually be in the trunk. I'll go grab it after the episode.
Yay!
Now that we're all hyped up to play Last of Us, we'll get back to what we did today.
Yeah, 10 minutes later.
Yeah, 10 minutes later, rant about how Last of Us is a fucking amazing game. Like I said, if you don't have it, go fucking get it.
Yeah. So, Nintendo today invited us out to this, basically hands-on with all the E3 stuff. Minus
Except
the big
Smash
one.
Bros, motherfuckers.
So anyway, yeah, they had the E3 builds of these games in these custom Wii U kiosks. Now, I'm pretty sure these are the ones that were rolled out after E3 where you could go play, go down the Best Buy, play a level in Mario or something. They had Mario 3D Land, or 3D World. They had Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze, Wii U Party, who gives a crap?
Yeah, well, that's the only one we didn't try.
what else was there? Link to, the 3DS one.
Zelda, A Link Between Worlds.
There was also Mario and Luigi Dream Team.
Yep.
Sonic and Mario at the Olympics.
At the Olympics of whatever the fuck year they're in now.
2097, I don't care. Clearly you don't either.
Well, the I don't Wind remember Waker if they do the year before or the current year or the year later.
I think it's 2014, so. I think, is the year.
I don't know how they do that.
It's winter, that's all I know.
Yeah, it was snowboarding, it was kind of fun.
Yeah, there was Wind Waker HD.
Wind Waker HD, yeah.
Pikmin 3.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, The Wonderful 101.
Which...
Game of the day.
I heard about it like a while back, and it was one of those, oh, that might be cool, and then I didn't hear about it again until we saw it and got hands-on there.
Yeah, because I think that's one of the things where, like, we don't know dick about this game.
Yeah, like, we saw it, and we saw other people playing it, because there was, like, kind of a lineup for a couple of these.
That's why we came late in the day.
Yeah, we came late in the day so that everybody would be gone, so we did end up getting to everything except for that Wii Party or...
And,
whatever the fuck it is, we didn't care.
And the cool thing is, we got so much hands-on time, and we got to talk with all the PR reps for as long as we wanted.
Yeah, that's the great thing about going later in the day. Yeah, so, I mean, I guess we can go game by game. Let's go how we, the games that we played in order.
We played Mario first.
What was it? Super Mario 3D World, I believe is what
the
actual
mouthful.
Title is. Well, I mean, it's the same as Super Mario World, except they added 3D in before World.
So, but yeah, this game, the cat suit is fun.
The cat suit's really cute and fun, yeah.
But it's no Tanuki suit.
It has its ups, it has its downs. Like, it's comparable to the Tanuki suit, because rather than having a tail twirl like the Tanuki suit, you actually, like, claw at them. So it has, like, a melee attack.
And this dive bomb attack.
Yeah, you can, like, jump up and then, like, dive bomb down like a flying squirrel. So I found that the only thing that was kind of out of place for a cat.
We've both been friggin' dive bombed.
Well, I mean, yeah, you get cat fucking jumps off of something high on you, but jumping up and then, like, soaring down, it was weird. It was cool, but it was just, I don't know, it didn't fit for me. I liked how you could actually choose between the four characters. So you had Mario, Luigi, Toad, and Peach. And they all had their different types of abilities. So, like, Peach can float for a long period of time, but she's really slow. I didn't really... You played Luigi. Did he jump higher than Mario?
He did, and he also kind of did that float thing from, like, Mario 2, where he just...
Yeah, so it was very... It's like they pulled from Mario 2, where they had all those kind of individual things about them.
Mm-hmm.
Along with their regular powers. We got to play with the fire suit. It acted a little bit different than what you'd be used to, but I mean, it's 3D, so I expected it to. It looks very light-colored for flames, but yeah, there was these new tube kind of things where you go in one side of the tube and it, like, Think of Futurama. If you know the starting of Futurama, all the tubes that they have in there. But if you push up or over or whatever, you actually go that direction if a tube sections off. Mm-hmm. So it was interesting. It wasn't crazy or anything, but what kind of enemies did we even find? There was the Goombas.
Those stupid spiny things that you'd see, and I think it was...
Spiny things?
Yeah, there were like spiny things that had like a face on them. I can't remember what the hell they're called.
Oh, the like plant chomper dudes?
No. Those are piranha plants. But no, yeah, these things were in the tubes.
They were like
spinies or something.
The little spike ball dudes with eyes, and they fucking move around, and usually they move around blocks in the older ones, but they were inside the tubes to make you kind of have to time when you jumped in the tube.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's Goombas. I don't remember. Did we see any Koopas?
I don't remember any. At least. Now, there were 5 levels available. We only got a chance to play 3 of them.
Yeah, one of them was the boss fight, which by the time we... Well, at first we were having a bit of a trouble, because you can climb walls as the in the cat suit, which I found really clunky for the mechanics, because you would accidentally like jump off, and then but it jumps away from the thing, away from whatever you're climbing, and it just felt really clunky whenever you were on like the opposite side of something. You're climbing up, and then you jump off, and you go the other way, and it just... I don't know. I didn't entirely like that mechanic. It might have just been the Wiimote I was using, because you were using the gamepad, right?
Yeah, and the gamepad, it still feels a little awkward.
A little awkward, yeah. it's not as tight as the older Mario's.
Yeah, and that's something I'm really surprised they've never been able to kind of nail down.
Well, see, I mean, I think it's because it's the multiplayer aspect. It's hard for the screen to really follow properly when there's more than one person.
Yeah.
But yeah, that boss, once we had figured out that you just have to do the dive bomb attack into him, he was so fucking easy, it almost put the old Koopa troop fucking to shame.
Yeah.
Because, I really didn't feel like I was in any danger the entire fight. Like, yeah, I think I jumped on him, and then he, bit me, and I lost my my cat suit, and I just grabbed another one, which just spawned. Basically.
Yeah, I mean, if I had one complaint about that game, it looks great, but it's too easy. Easier than new Super Mario Bros. U.
Yeah, I mean, it just felt way too easy, which I understand they're trying to go for all audiences, but I don't know, I grew up with the harder Mario, so it was so fucking easy. Like, pathetically easy.
Yeah, we're like, oh, this is, oh.
Like, I know they have to cater to kids nowadays and all that, but I mean...
But then again, I guess that's why we got new Super Luigi, which is really hard.
Oh, yeah.
But, I don't know. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to seeing how it all plays out as one complete package. But at the same time, make it a little bit harder.
Yeah, I mean, even if they just give the option.
Was there an idiot button?
What?
Was there an idiot button?
An idiot button?
Yeah, where, you know how in Donkey Kong Country Returns, for example, you can't beat a stage 5 times, there's the super guide. Because I can't remember. Yeah, I think New Super Mario Bros. U had that. It's been a while since I played it, so.
I don't know. I think it should have the difficulty up just a bit, if not a lot. I'm one of those hardcore kind of gamers, though, so... Like, we grew up with Super Mario Bros.
Yeah.
The original one. That was a lot harder than this.
And that's the only game I've only ever beaten, once or twice. I'm like, alright, cool, I'm done. Retire champion. Don't touch it again.
We can easily have an entire fucking prototype about how game development has basically...
It's changed.
It's changed to the point... Well, even...
It's not a matter of if. Now it's a matter of when.
Yeah, it's not like... People buy a game for the difficulty anymore. Now it's...
Well, there are some RPGs like Dark Souls and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, there is games out there, but I mean, the general populace of games has handholding to it, so...
Yeah.
But we'll leave that for another day's topic. Anyway, I'm looking forward to the game, because it looks like it's going to be good fun. Generally, when a game's too easy for me, it becomes good drunken fun. So... I could see a lot of drunk moments out of that one. So the next game that we got to is Donkey Kong Country...
Return.
Tropical Freeze. Which, I understand the tropical. Did you see anything to do with Freeze? It was all
there
fucking...
were Viking guys.
Well, I mean, there was penguins and there was a fucking seal for a boss, but there was really nothing to do with actual Frost or anything in the level. So I don't know if maybe the, I'm assuming the plot is probably they're coming to try to freeze Donkey Kong Country and ruin it and blah blah blah, but we didn't see any ice levels. So
yeah, there was no story.
It just, yeah, well, it's a demo, so they don't really show much story. And there was really no rep hovering around that one to tell us anything.
Yeah, I was actually kind of annoyed at that one. But then again, it was really busy at first.
Yeah.
When we got there. Yeah. But even later in the day, I didn't see a lot of reps around. Now, that's not the fault of the PR company, because I know these guys. And it's just a matter of, okay, no one's playing this right now. Let's focus on da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's one of those things of they can only be in so many places at one time.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is understandable. It's at least we got to have hands-on. One of the great things about this game, it looks beautiful. Looks really good. One bad thing about that, in the minecart level, and in some of the other levels, when you start moving really quick, you'll actually start to notice, I don't know if it's just going to be in this build or the final game or not, because the background is so crisp and looks so good, your eyes will actually bug out. Because this is actually a phenomenon in graphic design.
Really?
Basically, the background, if it's too crisp, like it looks as good as the foreground,
yeah,
your eyes will actually start to blur from motion. Basically, it forces it to look like it's blurred when you're moving really fast, because it just, it doesn't look proper.
Mm-hmm.
Because even in real life, say you're driving down the highway, the further you get away, the cloudier it's actually going to get. So basically what it's suffering from is the game looks too damn crisp in the background. So it looks really great when you stop, but when you're in that minecart and stuff, it starts to feel, it feels like it's blurring, but it's actually not. It's just in your brain. So that's kind of a downside, because it starts to hurt your eyes and you're just like, I don't know what's going on. I've never actually been able to say that where a game looked too good.
One of my problems with that game, now I was watching as an observer. I liked Donkey Kong Country Return. In fact, I thought it was fantastic. Definitely a highlight for the Wii. Give me a controller.
Yeah, I noticed that they were only really giving the Wiimote. They had a reason behind it. They weren't sure if you could get a controller, the reps that were there.
They were going to find out. They just didn't get back to me, which is understandable. Like I said, it was busy.
Yeah. The reason they thought that it might not be possible was because you do have to shake the Wiimote for certain actions.
For that pound attack or whatever.
Usually, they would just throw that on a button when it comes to a controller. So I could see it still getting a controller, like being able to use the classic. There was a couple things that I was a little bit upset about with the game.
Yeah.
Just because I was told via the E3 demo that it was a true Donkey Kong Country experience where it was actually hard.
Mm-hmm.
I found that game to be fucking dumbed down so bad. It felt... Well, okay, hold on. It was slightly easier than the old Donkey Kong Countries in the actual gameplay.
Yeah.
The reason that makes it way too easy is you get 3 hearts per character. So basically you can be hit 3 times before it matters at all.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can play multiplayer, so you can play 2 players. And if the one guy dies, if you have balloons, obviously, your lives, you can just call, like, you can pull yourself back in, and the other guy just has to pop the barrel, and then you're good to go again. So as long as one of you has a couple hearts, you're pretty much never going to die. As long as you got the balloons, which, if it's anything like the old Donkey Kong Countries, there's ways to farm balloons.
Yeah.
So... But it didn't feel as challenging, but I mean, we're in that day and age, right?
Yeah.
It was still a hell of a lot more challenging than Super Mario Bros., by far.
Well, that's good, because Donkey Kong Country, they're fun, but I think they're known for challenge.
Yeah, it was definitely a lot more challenging than the Mario was, because I mean, the Mario, I maybe got hit a total of 3 times. In Donkey Kong Country, I actually died a couple times, so... Is it even Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze, or is it
Tropical
Donkey
Freeze.
Kong Tropical Freeze?
fuck if I know.
I think it does have country in the title. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, it seemed like it's probably going to be a pretty decent game. Fun for a two-player co-op. Diddy Kong and Donkey Kong each have their own respective powers. And they can, like, kind of combine. So Diddy can go on his back and use his, like, rocket booster to help a little bit with a better jump, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Cool little powers and stuff like that. The boss fights... the boss fight that I got to try, it was against this weird Seal King guy.
Mm-hmm.
And that was probably the harder part of the demo. Which I usually expect bosses to be that way.
Yeah.
But he was probably harder than most of the Donkey Kong Country bosses.
Mm-hmm.
Like the original one. And I don't know where in the game that boss actually sits, so... then we moved on to... What game did we move on to there?
I think we went
to... It was Sonic and Mario at the Olympics.
Yeah, now this was actually kind of fun.
This is the first time I've actually had a little bit of fun with motion gaming. Because I fucking hate motion gaming.
Yeah, I think this is the first time motion gaming felt, yeah, like you said, fun for a change.
It felt like it should have been there.
Yeah,
like
but mind you, let's state, this is not Wii Sports. It wasn't that level of fun.
No.
It was we played bobsledding, skiing.
Snowboarding, bobsledding, and then like a...
Triathlon sort of thing.
Yeah, a triathlon thing where you get all the different things in the game.
And you can ice skate on snow, evidently.
Yeah, you get a lot slower, basically, in that triathlon thing. But it basically, the way it works is you tilt your Wii remote... forward to, say, put more weight on the snowboard so you go faster. Then you can lift up on it whenever you get to a jump to get higher air, and then you push down again so that you'll get a speed boost as you land. They're really, really simple fucking mechanics.
Like, yeah.
That was literally the game right there. You tilt it left or right to, you know, turn left or right with your snowboard or whatever the fuck you're in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's a Mario and Sonic Olympics game. It's going to be competition, it's going to be fun, it's going to have Mario, it's going to have Sonic.
It's the same thing you've seen every year.
Yeah, pretty much.
But this year, it looks prettier.
Look prettier. it didn't suck, but it's definitely not something on my list to buy, because I'm not into that stuff.
It ain't a day one. But no. Then again, I know I'm going to get it provided to me. Maybe I just need a little bit more hands-on with it.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't really get... that much there, and
we played for maybe like 20 minutes.
Oh, if that,
yeah.
Because
closer
that,
to 15.
That little kid came up, and I was like, "Here, you take the."
And
controller.
That's something else to actually kind of know. I watched a little kid play this game. Creepy, I know. And
Todd's watching little children.
It didn't seem very intuitive to him. Now, maybe the kid was too young. Maybe he's not like a gamer kid, and I do consider that a breed of gamer. It's instinctive. You just know.
Yeah, there is kids that just instantly pick shit up. I was definitely one of them as a kid.
And this kid, he was having... After a few minutes, he got it, but...
But even then, he was still having a bit of trouble.
Yeah, because you have to tilt... Because there's a motion sensor in the Wii pad, you have to tilt it around when you want to snowboard. That's the thing. First player has to look at the Wii pad.
Yeah, that... I think there might being an option.
Yeah, because we didn't try it individually.
Yeah.
Or did you ever play with the Wii Pad?
No. I didn't touch the Wii Pad once when we were there today.
Okay.
I don't like the Wii Pad. I'll say that now. I like the idea.
I don't mind
it. I just don't like how big it is.
I don't mind it, but it has to be utilized right.
Yeah.
Like, it feels awkward.
When they just make it
a
second screen, it's like, well, now I'm just going to hurt my neck staring down at it. If I want to do this, I'll play with my DS, which is half the fucking weight, and I'll just go lay on the couch.
Yeah.
But
this one,
that's just my opinion of it.
I do like the off-TV play option, though. But anyway.
Yeah, I mean, that it's cool how they're giving you a second screen, so the second player can have the full kind of TV, or the second, third, and fourth. Like, they wouldn't have a fourth split up. Yeah, I mean, the game, it was very simple, seemed kind of fun, but... It's one of those games, once again, I'd still have more fun if I had an actual controller. Like, if I was using analog, I would have had more fun. Because it would have reminded me of Snowboard Kids days. That shit was fucking amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Then.
Then I would say the bobsledding one was the funnest.
Yeah, it was interesting having both of us in the one bobsled.
Yeah, like, I was driving and you were making sure speed was good.
Well, basically, I had to help push... Well, we all had to help push the actual bobsled to start, just like, you know, an actual bobsled. But once we were in it, he was kind of steering mostly, and I was trying to counterbalance his weight with my weight. So
there's something I remember from this. Blair made a cool Runnings reference, which everybody does. And the rep looks at us, like, he says, "Do you know how many times I've heard that today?"
Yeah, it's like everybody made a cool Runnings reference. It's like, wow.
I love my wife, but sometimes her timing, not always the best.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for her to tell me to fuck myself right now. Okay, she didn't tell me.
So, yeah, I mean, then... Did you actually get to play Wind Waker HD?
No, everybody who was there for like half an hour.
Yeah, people were playing it for quite a while. I thought you ended up getting a little bit of time on it when I was playing the one game, so
no,
I
but
didn't go back over to it. But
it looks pretty. And
it's Wind Waker, but HD.
Yeah, it looks like a real cartoon. Now, my wife described Wind Waker to me, and this actually got my attention. She's like, Michael, I just threw a pig in the ocean. I'm like, okay. That's a buy for me. I want to throw livestock into the ocean.
You can drown pigs, you're buying.
Yep, if I can do screwed up shit, I'm there day one.
Fucking chickens. I'll throw them in there. They've killed me too many times in the other Zeldas.
Now, there's only one game today I walked away from. Because it pissed me off. Oh, fuck, Pikmin.
Yeah, he gets the controller, and it pissed him off, and he hands it to me, and I got it. I got it decently quick. Neither of us have ever actually played Pikmin. I've watched people play Pikmin. I don't know what your experience is with Pikmin, or if it's none. But yeah, I mean, I know about Pikmin, and I've watched people play it, so I never knew the controls, especially since, you know, it's motion controls now. It was fun. I think it
looked fun once she got the hang of it, I guess.
I won't lie. Right at first, I was like, how the fuck do I do this? Because there was no tutorial, and the rep that was there was like super rambunctious, like, this is how you do stuff, and this is how you, like, you do this, and you do this, but she didn't really explain what the controls were to do it.
It's like, whoa, buddy, slow down.
She's like, slow down, I understand you're excited, and you want to try to sell this game that it's super awesome, but can you tell me what the fucking buttons do? Just give me a screen that tells me, I don't care, like... But after I figured it out, yeah, it was pretty decent. And then,
but that same rep, was it the same rep who showed me the Wonderful 101?
I think so.
Now, when she walked me through the Wonderful 101, it made sense. First time, made sense.
Yeah.
Now, the Wonderful 101, I want to talk about this, then you can go back to Pikmin.
Okay.
This game, I couldn't believe it. Could not believe how fun it was.
It was... Yeah, it blew me away, because I was like, I didn't entirely know what the game was. I saw a bit of a concept a long time ago. I don't know, maybe even a year ago, I saw something about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, when we kept watching people playing it, and we're like, what is that? What the fuck's the name of that game? I think I know what this game is, but it looks really fun. I want to play it. And then, next thing you know, we're playing it. We only had to shank a couple people.
Yeah. And you're a bunch of superheroes, and what you do is save people, but sometimes in those people, there's other superheroes, which form the 101.
Yeah.
And citizens will join you for the duration of a stage, and you can form different weapons. Like you morph to become, like, the ones we saw was a fist, a gun, a whip, a hang glider. The rep told me about a bomb she became. And
yeah, we didn't know all of the drawings. We kind of just... imagine things and start drawing them, and we happen to get those outputs. The hang glider I accidentally did when I was trying to draw
the gun or something.
Yeah, I was trying to draw the gun, and then I accidentally got the hang glider because somehow it registered as, I think it's a triangle to do the hang glider, but I have no idea.
Yeah,
but it was like, as soon as we got it, you're like, what the fuck did you do that? And I'm like, I don't know.
And it's from a developer I didn't expect. Platinum.
Yeah.
Bayonetta, Metal Gear, Revengeance.
Yeah, it's like, so this super hardcore company just does this cutesy, awesome, just fun game? It's like, did Miyamoto have a talk with them?
Yeah, it's like, what happened? It's so strange, because I'm like, this looked stupid. This is awesome.
Yeah.
Literally, that's a day one for me.
At first you're just like, what the fuck is this? And then as soon as you get hands on it, you're just like, This is really fun.
Yeah.
I don't know how it's, like, if, I already told you this when we were there. If they have, like, 30 or so abilities, like, you know, turn your colony, like, turn your big group of superheroes into a gun and shoot the bad guys, that's cool.
But you're using the people as ammo.
Yeah, you actually
shoot
the people and they, like, latch onto them kind of like Pikmin and start beating them in the face. But then you can use the whip, so, like, if you draw the whip really long and you use as many people as possible, I had, like, how big was that fucking whip? I, like, just across the map and smack the boss.
I think we had it up to, like, 75 or something.
It was
something
ridiculous. Fucking
ridiculous.
Then
and
you
then
can,
we
like,
fought, like, Space Metroid.
Yeah, it was fucked.
Yeah, it was, like, this giant space amoeba comes out of this ship, which poops it out.
Yeah, I mean, if they have, like, say, 30 different abilities that you can turn these people into, then for sure, I will definitely want to play
it. And it seems like each hero has a different ability.
Yeah, it's like each hero has an ability or a boosted version of that. Like, because I got, like, three different people that were the whip. Mm-hmm. So one was, like, the regular whip, and then the next one was, like, the super whip with all these barb things on it. And it's like, okay, I'm scared.
Yeah, it was just, like, ridiculous. But, and you can draw it with your finger on the pad. And
or you can use the other analog,
yeah,
which was great.
And the reps, like, you know, sometimes you don't want to look down, and you can just use the joystick. I just used my finger and just kept my eye on the screen. And I thought
it's a simple drawing, right?
Yeah, it just, like, it worked great.
Well, basically, it was do a long straight line upwards to get the sword, which mm-hmm. is a badass looking sword, by the way. You do a squiggle to get the whip. You do a line up and then like right, or I didn't try left, but up and right gives you a gun,
because
mm-hmm. It's kind of a gun shape.
Yeah.
And then the hang glider, I think, is a triangle. I don't know. And then if you do a small circle, you get the, I call it the power glove, mm-hmm. the NES power glove. But basically, it's a giant fist that your people all turn into and you punch people.
Yeah. But yeah, it was just one of those things that was a joy to play. It was my favorite thing I played all day outside of Mario.
You didn't end up getting all the games in that I did.
Yeah.
But yeah, the game looks like it could be a lot of fun. My only thing is if they get, like, say, 30 powers, great. If they only have, like, another 3 to 4 powers, so, like, a total of 7 or 8 total, I would probably get, well, no, maybe even 8 I'd be fine with. I don't know, just with the powers that I had with the fist, the sword, the gun, and the whip, It started to, like, get repetitive for me, because I found I was just using just the whip, because it was fucking OP, but
I was the gun.
Yeah, I mean, it, like, and each boss that we kind of encountered seemed to have a weakness, so, like, the one, you had to actually latch the whip onto him and rip his body armor off, the big bad boss, the fucking Metroid, you had to strike with the sword.
Yeah, it was, like, I was shooting it. I'm like, why aren't I doing any damage? Then I used the whip. Like, all right, I'm taking off some health. And then you just started beating the crap out of it.
Yeah, I don't know why, but I was just like, giant amoeba thing? Giant sword.
Yeah, let's
do
just
this.
Stab
and then
this
I stabbed it, and I was just like, wow, that's doing a lot of damage. I'm just going to keep hitting him with this.
Yeah.
Although, but I also noticed, do you remember what the giant robot, what color was his actual body? Do you know?
Like silver, I think.
Okay. I was going to say, because I did notice that the Metroid was the same color as the power of the sword.
Oh.
So I didn't really think of that until on the way home, actually.
Oh, and then you broke the game.
Yeah, I broke the game. I got to a part that Dodd had already gone past, and you had to rotate a thing with the hand to be able to get on a Ferris wheel and go further in the level. I rotated it, and then it did nothing. And then I just waited out the clock until it just ended, because I couldn't do anything else, and I was just like, ah, fuck.
I'm like, way to go, dude. You broke the
E3 it was funny
demo.
Because the rep came over, and she's just like, oh.
I don't know.
You already turned that? Oh. I don't know. It was like, yeah, I'm really good at finding glitches in games and betas and demos.
Yeah, so obviously not representative of the final product.
No, I'm sure they would have that fixed.
Now tell me about the 3DS games you checked out.
Yeah, so right after that, I went over and played... At first I played the new Zelda that's going... Well, the demo of it. The Zelda A Link Between Worlds. When they throw you into this, like the demo, it already had the like a lot of the equipment. Mm-hmm. I noticed every piece of your equipment uses magic power rather than ammo, though. So, like, okay. Shooting the bow, every time I'd shoot an arrow, it actually took magic.
Oh.
So I was like, well, this is different. Dropping a bomb, it used, like, I think one-third of my magic bar, but it didn't take an actual bomb. It wasn't, like, a renewable resource that I had to go seek out anymore. It's just wait for your mana to recharge. Which, yeah, you don't have to get the little mana drinks that you did in the older ones. It just, it would slowly regenerate. I think there was drinks or whatever to replenish it faster when you're fighting a lot of enemies. But, yeah, new powers. There was a flame scepter. So you, like, use that to call down, like, a flame pillar. So it was just, like, fire magic.
That's pretty kick-ass.
Then there was the ability, which I didn't have to equip it with an item. So I don't know if this is just going to always be there or it's something you have to unlock. I'm assuming you have to unlock. It's fucking Zelda. But yeah, when you get to a wall that's actually kind of flat, you like could become a chalk drawing on it, and then you could like walk around certain ledges and stuff by just walking on the wall.
That's pretty neat.
It was weird, but it was very interesting because all the puzzles in the dungeon had to do with this.
So I guess I know that's why they were showing off this today.
Yeah, they're showing a lot of that. They had some other really cool things. So, like, you take the hammer and you'd smack down these little spring-looking thing. Well, they didn't really look like springs at first. They had, like, these weird grin happy faces on them. So you smack them down and then they get a sad face. And you step on them and then they spring back up and actually launch you up. So you can mm-hmm. launch up to higher floors and stuff. So it was, that was interesting. The fucked up thing that really actually pissed me off, I wanted to do the boss. So I get to the end of the dungeon, because mm-hmm. there was two demo modes. One was, like, overworld, and the other one was dungeon boss. So mm-hmm. I did the overworld one. I got into the dungeon. I did the whole dungeon, and as I walk into the boss door, it says, end of this, like, demo. Thanks for playing, yada, yada, yada. And I was like, oh, okay, well, I can just hit the dungeon boss demo. Click on the dungeon boss demo, it puts me at the beginning of the fucking dungeon. I'm like, well, I don't have time to do this whole damn thing again. But yeah, it didn't seem too hard. It was easier than most of the old school Zeldas, but it was still
fun.
Did
it feel like Link to the Past?
Very similar, yeah. It felt like Link to the Past, but a little bit easier. Like, I mean, the whole not having to pick up bombs, your magic was regenerating. The enemies didn't feel too hard because I think you already had the Master Sword for some reason, because whenever I was swinging, I was automatically shooting the energy beam.
Oh, that's cool.
So I don't know if that's just something you're going to get right away or if they unlock the Master Sword or something. Because
mm-hmm.
I seem pretty jacked in that game. So that it was probably just because it was a demo build. So I mean, it looks like it's just another Link to the Past style Zelda, which is probably a day one buy for most Zelda fans.
Mm-hmm.
It seems a little bit easier than the older ones, but I mean,
but that's just the trend in gaming.
Yeah, it's the trend of gaming. It still looks like it's going to be one of those fun Zeldas that has everything we love about Zelda, and it's back in that Link to the Past three-quarter view. So, and it's got some interesting new elements. So, I'm definitely going to be picking it up. Then the last game that I played was Mario and Luigi's Dream Team, I think is the title.
And that's like the RPG style, right?
Yeah, I guess it's following kind of their Paper Mario, Mario and Luigi, Bowser's Inside Story kind of style, where it's similar to Super Mario RPG, Legend of the Seven Stars, where they did an RPG-esque game, but they're throwing in their own elements of, like, going even further than the old RPG, more like the Paper Mario and all that stuff nowadays, where it's a lot more interactive of a turn-based RPG. So I immediately chose just to fight Bowser as a boss battle because it was getting late and we were kind of like, we should probably wrap this up. So I didn't play any of the actual levels. I just played the boss battle against Bowser.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, like, so when Bowser would attack, he would do, I think, 4 flame breaths. He would do 3 ones that you could just jump over.
Mm-hmm.
So this is an RPG battle, a turn-based battle. So he'd come up, he would breathe flames, I'd jump over him. He'd breathe flames, I'd jump over him. If you missed, you'd take, like, 4 damage from the flame breath. And then he did one where, like, he'd actually breathe the flames from the bottom of the screen to the top, where you can actually move up, down, or jump during that. And then he also seemed to do something based on whatever attack I used on him, he would counter. Mm-hmm. So I guess the concept of the game is Luigi's asleep and you are inside his dream.
Trying to save him or something?
Maybe trying to wake him up, maybe trying to save him, maybe you're just stuck in the dream and he's trying to help you. So, like, you get special Luigi powers.
Oh, that's neat.
So basically, your specials, rather than being, like, in the old Mario RPG, it was like, you know, use fireballs and hammers and jumps and stuff like that. You can still do the jumps and the hammer and all that crap as your, like, regular style attacks. But then there was, like, Luigi Dream something or others. So they were, like, special attacks. One of them was, like, the Luigi Ball. So I was like, the fuck is this? I click on it. And basically, Luigi appears.
Mm-hmm.
And Mario, I think, high-fives him, and then he turns into a bunch of Luigis that then roll into a ball, and then Mario jumps on top of them, starts rolling down this course, and then there's tons of Luigis, and you just keep running them over to make the ball bigger and bigger, and you're heading towards Bowser and all his thugs.
I wish you could see my face, guys.
Yeah,
this is really weird.
What the fuck? But it was like a little mini-game within the battle, so essentially you roll up as many Luigis as you can to build up the ball, which then builds up the damage. And as you get to Bowser, then Mario jumps off, you hit the button to kick him, so if you kick the ball of Luigi's, because it's Luigi's dream, right? So he can do whatever the fuck he wants, I guess. But it's my dream, I do what I want.
That's cool, though.
But yeah, so, like, yeah, if you have to time it, so, like, the better you time everything in this fucking game, the more damage it does. There was another one where it was the Luigi... I don't remember what the other one was called, actually. It was Luigi something or other, but Mario is being carried by a crowd of Luigis, and then you can make them jump onto another crowd of Luigis, and then another crowd, and you just keep jumping on them. So essentially, it becomes a giant Jenga board of Luigis with Mario on the top.
I really would love to see this game. I really wish I played this.
Like I said, like...
Has to be seen to be believed.
When you said the one game was, like, your favorite there, I'm like, you didn't get to play them all.
Yeah, clearly.
But yeah, then you, like, get this giant stack of Jenga fucking Luigis, and if you, like, jumped slightly off, the tower would, like, start to tip, and you'd, like, lose Luigi's falling off of it and stuff. So you'd, like, lose damage. And then at the very end, you, like, jump at Bowser, and then, like, you jump and hit him once. And depending on the number of Luigi's and, like, when you hit the button to, like, stomp on him kind of thing.
So it's all about timing and shit.
Yeah, all the Luigi's will then fall and deal additional damage if you did a good jump.
That's ridiculous. I mean, I really like the fact that they're trying to make RPG battle a little bit more interactive than just turn-based shit.
Yeah, see...
That's really friggin' awesome, actually.
It's a great innovation because it's still turn-based in a way, but it's awesome.
It keeps you interested in what's going on. As opposed to just sitting there spamming the A button.
And then, like, both Luigi and Mario gained experience at the end of the battle, which Bowser exploded into, like, a million rainbow stars. So I don't know if that's part of Luigi's dream or if Bowser's just full of rainbow stars. I don't know. But it's one of those games that I'm very intrigued because the last good Mario RPG I played was Mario RPG on the on the Super Nintendo. I know of the Paper Marios. I haven't got to play all of them more than like 5 minutes for each, just testing a cartridge. I'm ashamed because I know that they're supposed to be spiritual successors to Mario RPG and they're supposed to be really fun, but I only have so much time for RPGs. But yeah, I think I'm gonna pick this one up because I've been falling in love with my 3DS lately. I really wish he had got to play it.
Yeah,
it was one of those weird fucking things that looked really fun.
What the hell was
really
that?
Fun. That was actually my phone dying.
I'm glad it chose to let us know.
Yeah, it likes to go do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Now, for those of you that follow our These Warriors Are Terrible podcast, the only reason I bring this up because that just reminded me. We're playing Transformers for it. And my buddy Mike, I guess, has an Android phone, and I'm pretty sure it's possessed. Because randomly, it would just play the transforming noise from Transformers Generation 1. Just that do-do-do-do-do. And that just reminded me of that. You'll hear the freak out in like a few weeks.
So basically what you're saying is
your phone's possessed.
When you look away, it transforms into a little robot, aims a gun at you, and then when you look back, he transforms back.
Yeah.
And you just don't realize it.
Yeah, good times.
Yeah. He's trying to kill you. It's possessed. Anyway. I mean, the lineup that was there, other than the one game that we didn't play. Well, I guess we didn't play two. We didn't play Wind Waker, which still looks good. It's fucking Wind Waker.
Yeah, it's Wind Waker. Nothing's changed.
Like, I mean, if you don't have the GameCube copy or you don't have a GameCube anymore, get this one.
And it will be available on retail discs, too.
It's supposed to have bonus content, too, right? Mm-hmm. As far as I know. So, I mean, it's probably worth picking up anyway. I do know most, like, the one complaint most people have about Wind Waker is the fact that it takes fucking forever to sail through places.
I think they said you can warp or something.
No, this one's going to have like a slow, like a normal pace and a fast pace mode for the boat now.
Oh, okay.
So basically you'll be able to fucking zoom around the map and not care. Yeah, I mean, what was the title of that game we didn't play? It was like,
We Party You,
is that
or
it?
Some shit like that.
It's fucking stupid.
I mean, honestly, the only party games I like are Mario Party games, the game that can destroy friendships.
Even the latest ones, though, they're Mario Party 9. I've heard so many bad things, I've refused to even go near it.
I think I have it.
Yeah?
I don't know.
Fuck.
Probably. I don't know. I play everything because they sent it to me, so I don't remember.
I don't know. Nothing will ever beat Mario Party 3.
Mario Party 7 was mine.
That was your favorite?
Oh, yeah. My God. Especially with the microphone. I used to play that with an ex-girlfriend of mine and
she was really blowing, what?
Yeah. I'm not going to get into that. Anyways, yeah, it was just a lot of fun. I think Nintendo's going to have a good Christmas, but they got a lot of competition.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff still coming out. Like, I know we did the Wii U Suicide episode, and then we kind of retracted the fact that they're definitely dead kind of thing from the E3 show. Now,
2014 is going to be a much better year.
These games that are coming, they seem like they're going to be great, but it's also one of those things of, think about the number of games that were there that we actually even gave a fuck about until we played them.
Yeah.
I gave less of a fuck about any of those games until I had played them. So, I mean, they either need some good advertising or, like, release some fucking demos.
Yeah.
All kinds of shit. Like, because it's just, they have so much to compete with against the other consoles.
Yeah,
so.
And, you know,
and the other consoles, they have the really flashy games where it's looks really cool.
Like, I spoke to a rep today and I said, you know what? You guys are going to be fine come holiday. And I'm like, and I'm not saying this to talk down to you. You guys are selling the families. You guys are selling the experience, not macho tech.
Yeah.
And that's what the Wii U represents. I mean, yeah, it may bomb, quote-unquote, by commercial standards, but you know what? Kids are still going to want it. Families are still going to want it because of one word, Nintendo, and because of another word, marketing and branding, yeah. So to speak. So two words. Because it's got such a strong association with being a fun system. And they're like, oh, people, you should have named it something else, Wii U. No, Wii conjures a certain memory, a certain association. So
I still wish they had a new name.
But it's almost brilliant, in a way. Ass backwards brilliant. But it works, because like, the Wii was fun! You know, and the average parent is not reading Kotaku or Joystick.
But see, this gets back into what I was saying in a previous episode, where the average parent sees the Wii U as another Wii. Because they don't know any better.
Yeah, but they also know the Wii is outdated now.
Yeah.
So, it depends on
how... Hopefully it'll click soon.
Well, it's how they position a lot of their advertising and a lot of their marketing.
Yeah.
And Nintendo, unfortunately, I say this with love, you're not connecting with your audiences, I think. The fact that you didn't do a stream at E3 was both good, or you didn't do a floor show, it was both good and bad. Because that puts you off the radar to certain people, puts you on the radar for others. And a lot of us journalists or commentators picked up on this.
Yeah.
And we spread the word. But not the average person knows about it. They were making fun of the Xbox DRM shit on Conan O'Brien and Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah.
Were they talking about the Wii U and Super Smash Brothers? Nope.
No.
And that's the problem. Nintendo needs to be out there in the marketplace. And right now, there are two or three killer app games for that system, being Zombie U, in my opinion, Mario.
New Super Mario Bros.
Whatever. The Mario game. And Mario game. I think you can make an argument for maybe Lego City. It's a good game.
Yeah.
So, you know, come on,
this
guys.
This holiday, they're going to get all these titles that we just played, and they're all good in their own way, so most people that have a Wii U will at least buy one.
Yeah, I'm really hoping people pick up the wonderful 101. I hope Wind Waker does well, because... But that's the thing, though, and we've talked about this before, too. Banking on nostalgia. Going back to revisit the well.
It really feels like Nintendo's really fucking pushing that a lot lately.
And I wonder what is the end game. What are they going for?
Well, I mean, nostalgia really works right now. A lot of people, like, the retro gaming is really coming back. So with them kind of buying into that market to bring them back, they're buying into that pool of money that people are trying to basically buy their old games anyway. So mm-hmm. they may as well have them on their new console.
Yeah.
I know this for a fact because, as most people know, I run a online video game store, and that's what I specialize in, is the old school stuff. I've noticed a huge boom in sales of retro games as soon as people, like, the announcement of Xbox and PS4, you know, back a couple months ago when they said both of the consoles probably would not be backwards compatible, would be online only, and all that shit. And I basically had a bunch of people go, I want a Nintendo and Super Mario 1. Okay.
Yeah, like, but eventually that well's going to run dry.
It will. Like, they only have so many games, and they can...
And they've got so many abandoned franchises.
Yeah, they really need to bring some of those back with a new game, not a remake.
Yeah, like Star Fox. Sorry, we just got a port when you really break it down.
A fantastic port, I would like to see a new Star Fox.
Kid Icarus, they said, yeah, we're done with that. What the...
Probably, I don't know what the sales numbers are, but they probably didn't do as well as they wanted to with the 3DS one because
put
they had
that
fucking
shit to the
crappy,
Wii U.
Yeah, they had crappy-ass controls because it was 3DS.
Yeah, like...
Turn that into a shooter with two fucking analogs? Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
That game was fantastic.
Like, port that shit. Star Tropics is a game I read, once again, our Wii Suicide show. And I'm like, man, that would be so awesome. I love Star Tropics. Bring that shit back. I want to fight with the fucking yo-yo. you know, or... Yeah. Do you remember when Yoshi used to have puzzle games?
Yoshi's Cookie.
Yeah, stuff like that. That might be fun. Call it Yoshi's Factory. Do some...
Yoshi's Cookie Factory.
Yeah, like, that could be seriously fun. Or give a new Dr. Mario. Or something. Which, yes, I know, there was the one on the Wii, whatever. You know, like, there's just so many franchises that were just abandoned, or Jet Force Gemini. The Wii doesn't have... Nintendo has never had a shooter property, in my opinion, that has really kind of stood up. Metroid. Okay, I'll give you that. Where the hell is the Metroid game?
Yeah, but, like, I haven't heard any announcements on that, so it's kind of like, are they making something? Are they still designing something? Or did they put it on a back burner?
I think it's on the back burner because people were burned by other M.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Wii U's got the tech to make the games cool. Now, I'm not going to lie. I'd much rather have a Metroid game than a new Zelda game in 2015. But who knows? Who knows? Maybe we'll get both. And I really hope third party starts kind of picking up for it. I would love to see a remake of the original Castlevania done up in the same vein as, say, DuckTales HD. Or do that. You want to go back and revisit some old titles? Do that shit. Give me Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers and an updated Darkwing Duck.
Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers.
But then again,
now that's going to be in our head all fucking night.
But now I've contradicted myself.
Uh-oh.
Nostalgia.
Yeah.
Revisiting the well. Yep. Nintendo... You are better than this. I know you can do it. So, once again, we'll have to wait and see. So, what are we talking about next week? Because it's the 4th of July for our American neighbors, and it's Canada Day-ish this weekend.
Well, we have promised a Sonic Drunken Show, and I'm not busy this weekend. You're going away, I think, next week, right?
Yeah, next week. Oh,
so,
yeah.
So basically, this weekend we could probably do a Drunken Sonic and have it released next week.
Yeah.
And then there'll probably be a week where we're having a dry spell.
Yeah, there. I will not be around from July 8th until probably about the 11th, give or take.
During that time, I may be looking into starting up a kind of a Let's Play show. I'll look into all the details, and then we'll let you know, because that might be on This Week in Geek as well.
Yeah, and I guess while we're announcing things...
announcing things, yay!
I'm thinking about... I just bought this camera tripod for my iPhone 5, or iPhone 4, sorry. And I'm thinking about recording vlogs as sort of addendums to shows. Or like, hey guys, you just heard the prototype. I didn't say this, but I meant to. Or just random video vlogs. I got really inspired by Steve Saylor's Geek and Sundry thing. So you might see RPG stories out of me, or just thoughts on this. Like, why does this suck? So, I don't know. I'll probably
Just your angry rants.
Or just my angry rants.
I like angry rants from you.
Because I get really passionate about them.
I am definitely going to
hook
up
your... What was the angriest rant that you've heard from me so far? I'm thinking Colonial Marines was a pretty good one.
You actually didn't rant too much about that to me directly. I heard about the rants, but the biggest anger fit I've seen you ever have was when you called me over the one time to help you with Resident Evil 6. You were just so fucking pissed, and it was like, I'm sitting there like trying to play the part that he's having trouble with. I hadn't even played the game at the point, and I'm just like, if I do this, he might kill me. Because he's so pissed that he can't do it. If I do it, I did it instantly, and I'm just like, please don't kill me.
I just don't want to be known as that fat guy who freaks out. Because there's another dude on YouTube. He's a big guy who's on Zombie Go Boom, and he freaks out and destroys Xboxes for whatever reason.
Oh, shit.
I don't know. He's just this weird guy. And I don't know whether this is appropriate, so let's just kind of mark this right here. Have you ever noticed how fat guys have really high voices?
High voices?
Yeah. Like, listen to... Oh, man, I feel like I'm fat-shaming. But no, I just something that I noticed. Like, a lot of the fat guys that I know...
Like, really high like this?
Oh, okay. There, let's back it off.
I'm actually really good at changing my voice. But I have never actually shown you that, have I?
Not really. But pay attention to this sometime. Deep. And I'm...
Oh, really high.
And I'm hearing my own voice, and I'm like...
hold on.
Hey, guys, want to get high?
Okay, Tally. Yeah. But yeah, it's just one of those things I just noticed. I don't know. I don't think I have a high voice.
I wouldn't say you have a high voice, so...
Yeah, I'm mid-range. Or as my radio teacher told me, you have a non-specific North American dialect. I can sound like I'm from anywhere. That's...
You are neutral.
Yeah, I am... In the D&D alignment, I'm true neutral.
True neutral.
Really fucking weird. Yet people in the States, and I know I'm going to get some letters about this, so Mike at thisweekingeek.net, I sound Canadian. Everyone says, I pronounce a boot.
What are you talking about,
eh? Like, there are certain words that's like, oh, you pronounce that so cute. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? But I digress. Now. So next week, Drunken Sonic, it will be fun. It will be... amusing in some capacity.
Okay,
totally professional.
Let's do the ground rules now for this episode, like about next episode.
We'll
go over them again on the day, but we need to figure it all out right now so people know what they're going to get into.
Here's what we're going to do: you're going to come over early, and we're going to play a bunch of Sonic games. We're going to drink the whole time.
Yes.
Then we're going to record the second we're done. The second we feel trashed, then we got to go right to the studio.
Yeah.
And just ramble.
When we're trashed enough that we can still talk and still keep drinking, because basically during the episode, every time we have something bad to say about Sonic,
take a drink.
We're going to take a drink. So we're already going to be drunk so that it's entertaining, but we're going to drink more, you know, so that we feel less pain from having played those games.
Now, also, I would like to preface this. We will be drinking responsibly for your amusement. We're not going to go binge drinking and gargling fucking...
Trust me, I've drank enough in my time that I know how to drink responsibly, but still be hilarious.
If you know me personally, you've received some phone calls regarding this at 3 o'clock
I will take
morning.
His phone away from him, just for this episode. But yes, we will be drinking responsibly for the prototype and the entertainment of it only, not for any other reason.
Exactly. So that'll be the way we'll celebrate Canada Day and 4th of July.
and we'll bring it to you guys because we love you guys. We really do.
So that's what's going to be following up next week on the show. Then I'm off to New Jersey for a few days.
And then we'll think of something for the next one.
Well, I kind of want to talk about game design, maybe. Sort of old versus new.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't really done anything game design side in a while. And I do know that we've had the odd kind of mail that's been saying they like having my perspective as a designer.
Yeah, so
I mean, we can maybe do an episode more dwelling on that side of things, just so it's really not as exciting. Just going to say that now, but well, I can make it exciting. Fuck it. We'll make it exciting.
We'll find a way. So anyway, guys, that's pretty much going to do it for me. I've been Mike the Birdman Dog.
Well, one more thing. Just give them the number and everything again.
Oh, yeah. If you guys want to call feedback in for voicemail, it's 817-717-7202. I do check the mail approximately once a week, so hopefully it'll make it into the show. And it normally we talk about it just after...
The intro.
Which reminds me, I really want to send a huge shout out to Alex Recchi. He wrote a guest blog for us about how the console generation has changed. So go to thisweekingeek.net, check that out. I can hear my neighbors pounding on the floor, so we're done for the night. I'm going to edit this tomorrow.
What the hell is on your screen?
That's PJ Phil from YTV.
Oh.
And a mutated rabbit.
Yeah, I meant the mutated rabbit thing. That's... You know what? Send me that picture. That is going to be the picture of the for the prototype
for this episode. And that's how we ended, folks.
And so you've been.
I've been Mike the Birdman Dog.
And I've been Jamie Johnson. And I am a pink, white, bunny mutant thing that you're going to see as this episode's picture.
Today. and ancient manana. But cats tell me I restored their faith in the genre. Yep, there's brothers dying in the streets all year. And with no money, all I can do is keep y'all there, yeah. So one day I make it back for my peoples. But first I gotta grow, so if I gotta leave you and lose your support for being versatile, treat it like a call while you on the clock. Don't take it personal. Hello. This is my awakening, been asleep forever now, so a new day begins. It's so sudden, I'm just trying to take it in. I opened doors, nobody thought I could make it in again. This is my awakening, you heard me before, I'ma never feel that way again. So sudden, I'm just trying to take it in. I opened doors, nobody thought I would make it in. This is your awakening. You realize that it is time to stop hoping and waiting for something, for someone to change, or for happiness, safety, or security to come galloping over the next horizon. You come to terms with the fact that there aren't always fairy tale endings, or beginnings for that matter, and that any guarantee of happily ever after must begin with you. Then, a sense of serenity is born of acceptance. This is your awakening.